Welcome to an exposition of the Gospel of John with Rev I.T. Matura. Get ready to be empowered and transformed by the Word of God.
Hallelujah. Welcome to Lesson 10, which I've titled Grace, Healing, and Testimony. I'm going to do an overview of Chapter 9 of the Gospel of John. After the overview, I'll look at the key revelation from this chapter. Then I'll conclude with five lessons that we get from this chapter. And I believe there'll be a blessing and there'll be empowering and equipping to you. So get your Bible, get your notebook. Let us flow together in the Word of God. Now, from verse 1 to 7, we see there the story of Jesus and a blind man that he encounters. So as he passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And the disciples ask him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" So it was something that was puzzling to them, that how can this man be born blind? What did he do wrong? Or what did his parents do wrong? Verse 3, Jesus answered and said, "Neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." So Jesus then responds that it's neither of them that sinned, but this happened for the glory or the works of God to manifest through him. So this shows us that there are times when it has nothing to do with any wrong done by anybody. There are cases where they sin and there are consequences, and some of the consequences are sickness and disease. But in this instance, there was no sin involved. So there are certain circumstances that you might find yourself in, not because you have done something wrong, but because God wants to manifest his glory and reveal himself through his mighty works. Jesus says in verse 4, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." He's talking about the season that God has given him to be on earth, and there'll come a time that it is no longer available. So he says, "As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." So he then spat on the ground, made a little clay with his spit, and anointed the eyes of the blind man. And in verse 7, he said unto him, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam," which is interpreted sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Hallelujah. So he was given an instruction after Jesus had mixed the clay of the ground with his spit and anointed his eyes. You see the uniqueness of the graces of healings. So in this case, you can't then go around and start spitting and spitting on people or spitting on mud and saying this is the way. But you see the unique and peculiar anointings of healings, that when Jesus healed, he healed in different ways. You remember the ruler and his servant or son, he just gave an instruction, and at his word, the healing took place. The man at Bethsaida, he was told, "Arise and take your bed," and he was healed. But this guy, there was an anointing with spit. And as he did that, he commanded him to go and wash. And when he washed, his eyes opened and he could see. And I want you to know that our Jesus is a healing Jesus, and he's still healing today. If you're sick in your body, I want you to believe. And I believe that Jesus can heal you. Receive your healing in Jesus' mighty name. So the blind man came back seeing. And when people saw him, they were amazed. Now, from verse 8 to 23, we see the controversy of that healing, because when he was healed, people began to say, "Is it not this guy who was a beggar, who was born blind? How is it that he sees?" He answered himself in verse 11, and he says, "And he answered and said, 'A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and I washed and received sight.' Then they said to him, 'Where is he?' And he said, 'I know not.' So they brought him and took him to the Pharisees and told the story that this is the guy who was blind and has been healed. And the Pharisees were not moved by the healing. What they were concerned about was that it was on a Sabbath that this healing had been done. So in verse 15, then again the Pharisees asked him how he had received this sight. He said unto them, he put clay on my eyes, I watched and do see. Therefore, in verse 16, some Pharisees said, this is not a man of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was division among them. So you see that this miracle brought division among the people. The Pharisees did not want to acknowledge the power of God that was at work. And so there was controversy. Some were saying, how can a sinner do such miracles? Because it was a tangible miracle. It was a notable miracle. The man born blind was here and his eyes were open and he could see. So they said again to the blind man, they wanted to hear what had really happened concerning his sight. So they could not believe that he had been blind. So they had to then call his parents. And when they called his parents, they then asked the parents also, is this your son? And what happened to him to be healed? The parents then answered, yes, this is our son. But concerning his healing, we don't know what caused him to be healed. And the Bible says, for they were afraid that if they confess that Jesus is the one, they would be chased out of the synagogue. What a sad scenario, that the religious leaders of that day were so against the power of God and people being helped by Jesus, that anyone who identified with Jesus would be chased out of their religious cycle. They could not allow anyone who associated with Jesus. And these parents were more concerned about their status in the synagogue than with the healing of their son. So that was the great controversy. So they just said, he's old enough, he can answer for himself. That's how they escaped that question. Said, he's old enough, ask him, he can answer for himself how he got healed. Verse 24 to 34, we see again the testimony of the blind man. So they called him again, the Pharisees, and says, give praise to God, we know that man is a sinner. So listen to him in verse 25, the blind man. He says, whether he is a sinner or not, I know not. One thing I know is I was blind, now I see. Hallelujah. He says, I don't care about your politics, your religious politics, whether he's a sinner, whether he's a man of God, whether I don't know what that is about. I don't want to get involved. What I know is I was blind, now I see. That's the testimony that I have. My eyes have been opened. Hallelujah. And he kept his testimony. So they then tried to threaten him. And when they asked him, then he says, no, I've told you already about this. Do you want to be his disciples now? Then he said, no, we are not disciples of this man. We are disciples of Moses. And in verse 29, he says, verse 30, he then answers them and says unto them, wherein is a marvelous thing that you know not where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. Now I know that God heareth not sinners, but if a man is a worshipper of God, he doeth his will and he hears him. Now the blind man is preaching to them. These guys, the Pharisees, were saying, this one is a sinner. We listen to Moses. And this one, we don't know him. Then he says, I don't care about you knowing him or not knowing where he came from. But what I know is God hears those that do his will. And this man is doing the will of God. Hallelujah. Since the world began, have you ever heard of a man opening the eyes of a blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Hallelujah. Amen. So many times we are quick to criticize. We are quick to see the enemy. We are quick to see the wrong thing and not see the power of God that is at work. Now, this blind man says to them, if this man was not of God, he could do nothing. What he was saying is all that Jesus was doing is because God was with him. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Now, from verse 35 to 41, we then see Jesus giving words of exhortation, because this man had been chased away now by the Pharisees. And when Jesus said that he had been cast out, he found him and said unto him, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" He answered in verse 36, he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe in him?" Now, Jesus had healed this man, but now he's giving him a message that will lead to his salvation, because the greatest miracle is the miracle of salvation. One can have eyes opened, but still head to hell with open eyes that can see. So Jesus says, "Do you know the Son of God?" And this man says, "If you tell me who he is, I will believe." Jesus said in verse 37, "That thou hast both seen him, it is he that talketh with thee." So in that he says, "You have seen him, I who is talking to you, I am he." And immediately the blind man, when he heard that, he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. And that belief, faith in Jesus, led to his salvation. Jesus then says in verse 39, "For judgment I came into this world, that they which see might not see, and they that they which see might be blind." Hallelujah. Say, "They that do not see, that they may see, and they that see might be blind." And what he was talking about is those that claim to see, like the Pharisees, were going to be blind to the truth. But those that were seemingly not able to see, he was there to open their eyes. So the Pharisees said to him, "Are we blind also?" Verse 41, the last verse, he said, "If you were blind, you have no sin, but you say we see, therefore your sin remaineth." So these were blind but claimed to see. In another portion of the Gospels, Jesus says, "How can a blind man lead another blind man? For both shall fall into a pit." So Jesus brought judgment on those that were claiming to be seeing, yet they were blind. But those that were blind, he opened their eyes. Hallelujah. Now, the key revelation in this portion or this chapter that we have been going through is John chapter 9 and verse number 4. It says, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh where no man can work." Hallelujah. Now, this is a scripture that speaks of understanding of assignment and season. And Jesus knew his time that he had been given, and he knew that he had to do what God had assigned him to do within the season and the time. That's why he says, "I must do the works of him that sent me." So he came on a mission. He had an understanding, and he knew that his assignment was time bound. And as long as it was day, it means as long as it was in the Kairos, time of God, he had to do the work of God, because a season of night was going to come when he was not going to be able to work. So for you also, there is a season and an assignment that God has given you in your season and in your time. You have to do what you have to do before night comes, because the Bible says in the grave there is no work. You cannot do anything, because you have lived your life. Once you are dead, that assignment that you are supposed to accomplish is gone with you. So it's very important that we work the works of the Lord while it is day, while the season and the time and the chance that we have been given is available. Let's maximize that chance and that time. That is why Moses says, "Lord, teach me to number my days, that I may apply my heart unto wisdom." So we need the wisdom of walking in the revelation of times and seasons, that we may know what we ought to do. Hallelujah. Let's look at five lessons as we conclude this study. Number one, there are negative situations that God allows in order to manifest his glory. Many times we go through some trying times and we are trying to figure out, what have I done wrong? Why is this happening to me? Now, there are cases that God allows you through those negative circumstances, not as a punishment, but as a way to manifest His glory, to bring a testimony in your life. He knows you are able to overcome. The Bible says, "You will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear, and with each temptation, He will give us a way out." So there is a way out, and God allows it so His glory may be manifest. You look at Job, God allowed it not because He was punishing Job, but that the glory of God may be manifest through Job. And at one time, Apostle Paul says, "Three times I've asked the Lord for this thorn in the flesh to be removed, but God responded and said, 'My grace is sufficient.'" So there are things God allows because His grace is sufficient and His glory will be manifest. And I believe you'll come out with a testimony. Second lesson we see there is healing responds to obedience of divine instruction. We've seen this before. The man was told, "Go and wash your face." Now, you could have said, "I washed before I came here. I know how to wash." You remember when Naaman was told to go and dip himself 7 times in the Jordan? He began to complain. "I came all this way. There are better rivers in Syria. I could have bathed there. Why should I go to Jordan?" If it was not for his servant who said, "If the prophet of God had told you something more difficult, would you not have done it?" Now, we have people, excuse me, who want things to seem very mystical or very difficult before they believe that something is happening, especially us in Africa here. Jesus just gave an instruction, "Go and wash your face." And in washing his face, there was the miracle. If you are able to obey divine instructions, you'll be able to trigger miracles in your life. Many times we miss our miracles because of disobedience. Lesson number 3, share your testimony and give glory to God. If we see anything in this study we've just looked at, is that this man kept his testimony. When they questioned him the first time, he told them how he was healed, and he said it was Jesus who healed them. They tried again. His parents were called. They asked him again, tried to threaten him, but he kept his testimony and said, "I know I was blind. Now I see. I don't know what you're talking about, your politics. What I know is this man could not do what he's doing unless God was with him." Hallelujah. So share your testimony. Don't allow anyone to belittle what God has done for you. Share your testimony and give glory to God. Amen. The fourth is, don't let your testimony be silenced by people. People will try and silence you. People will try and say, "Did that happen? Oh, that was something that is not really a miracle." No, don't be silenced by anybody. Don't allow anyone to silence you. The Bible says they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Your word of testimony brings victory. So don't stop testifying of the goodness of the Lord in Jesus' name. And lastly, wholeness comes through the revelation and believing. Revelation of Jesus and believing in Him. This man had been healed of his sight. He was now able to see, but spiritually he was still blind. It was when the revelation of who Jesus was came to him, and when he believed, that the wholeness of salvation came into his life. So they are miracles, but wholeness comes when we have a full revelation of who Jesus is in our lives, because he is more than a miracle worker. He's more than a healer. He is more than someone who opens blind eyes. He is the Son of God. He is God manifest in the flesh. When we believe in Him, we receive salvation and eternal life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to us through your word today. I pray that, God, you remember your children. Some are going through challenging times. And I pray that through the valley, you may manifest your glory, even in a wilderness season. Reveal your glory, oh God, in the name of Jesus. There's someone who needs a miracle. Father, may you intervene in their lives. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Heavenly Father, that they will come out with a testimony and glorify your name. I pray that, God, you may open their eyes spiritually, that they may know you and have a revelation of who you are in their lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. What a blessing. Let's connect again tomorrow.
Thank you for connecting to today's teaching. Looking forward to connecting again tomorrow. For more of Rev. I.T. Matura's biblical teachings, go to innocentmatura.podbean.com.